Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Jaguars Monday. It's going to be tough being happy this evening. I think it was tough for everybody being happy today in Jacksonville. It was tough yesterday afternoon for sure. That's one of those stinkers that comes along every once in a while, and there's, you just can't get it out of your system fast enough. All you want is for the game to end. Because you know it's going nowhere. It's just going to get worse. It happens. It happens on the golf course. It happens in life. And when it happens in a game, you try to brush it off. But first, we're going to try to make some sense of it here this evening. I have cleared the deck. There is no guest. Partially because I don't think anybody in their right mind would want to be a guest on this show tonight. Almost certainly not going to be a happy hour. So it's all yours. You need therapy? Call. You want to complain? Call. I can't imagine you don't want to complain. If you are seeking some answers that you could provide me, because I don't know what I can provide you, but if you want to talk about this and try to make some sense of it, I'm all ears, and I'll give you what thoughts I have on the subject. I have armed myself with information that might help you, because I know we're going to be dealing with a multitude of topics, not just that 41-0 shellacking yesterday in Seattle, but, of course, there's going to be the Mike Walker-Sims thing, and I know we're going to get calls on Quentin Groves. So I've tried to arm myself with some information here. If you want to go, whatever way you want to go, feel free to do it. I think we can help you out a little bit. Did you happen to watch, by the way, the Tennessee-Indianapolis game? I watched it on the plane. After I wrote my stories, I watched that game on those little screens they give you on the plane. We had a larger than usual the normal plane for this trip for the obvious reason, and it had some creature comforts, and one of them is this lovely TV thing that they have now that they never used to have. It's great. You feel like you're connected to the world. You're not just hovering above it. I was able to watch the Indianapolis Tennessee game, and I was able to watch the Phillies Rockies baseball playoff game, a great game, although I don't know why in the world they were playing baseball at 2 o'clock in the morning. Someone's going to have to figure that out to me. But if they were doing it just for me, that's fine, because we needed some entertainment late at night as we flew back from Seattle. But anyhow, watching the Indianapolis-Tennessee game, all I could think to myself is, if we think we have problems here, if we think we have issues here, not compared to what's going on in Tennessee. Not only are they winless and likely to lose again next week to make themselves 0-6 because they play in New England, and then they'll have a bye week. They'll probably sit 0-6 through a bye week, but now they've got a quarterback controversy, and they've got just an absolute mess. And I couldn't help but ask the question and ask Vic today about the Titans. How could it go so bad so quick? You know, we were asking that question of this team last year. How could it go so bad so quick? And then one more question I have of that game. Why were the Colts throwing the ball, leading 31-9 with 3 minutes to go, 2 minutes to go in the game? Why were they... Were they manic? Why were they absolutely frantic to throw the ball? Were they padding the quarterback stats? And, you know, they put the camera on Jeff Fisher, and Jeff Fisher does a wonderful job of masking his miffedness in those situations. But I could see through those eyes. I could see into those eyes. He's got to be furious. I'm 0-5. I'm trying to hold it together. You're a division foe. I'm going to play you twice a year. And you do this to me? Ooh. You know, that's that one gets stored away for the future. Joe, I see we've got calls already. So why don't we go to line one and talk to Ken in Arlington. Hi, Ken. Good evening.
Hey, good evening, Vic.
How are you?
I am doing fine, actually.
Good.
All right. I'm actually abiding by the coach's rule, 24-hour rule, and looking to next week and just wondering, you know, what do you think, as Coach Del Rio, that you do to get the Jaguars refocused and look at our opponent coming up and just put this behind us?
Well, that's easy to do because nobody wants to dwell on 41-0. If it's 14-13 and you blew it, if you had a game such as the Ravens and the Bengals yesterday, if you had lost the Bengals, if you were the Ravens and lost to the Bengals at the very end on a touchdown pass, now you're going to have trouble getting rid of that one. But this won't be any kind of a problem getting rid of this one. The problem with this one is going to be that it's going to make you doubt yourself. It's going to make you ask questions about yourself. Let's not forget that when you put the Arizona game and the Seattle game together, I mean, you're looking at what was the combined score of those after three quarters? It was a lot to 3, something like that. In other words, it was bad, really bad. Well, you've played 5 games, and 2 of them were blowouts, and that's troublesome. That's troublesome. So that's kind of the thing that this team has to deal with this week. As far as the Rams are concerned, I don't think this is about the Rams. I don't even think this is about getting to 3-3. I think this is something that Jeff Loggeman alluded to yesterday in our pregame show, and he's right on the button. This is about being a respectable football team. This is about playing good football, which the Jaguars obviously didn't do yesterday, and it's going to haunt them. And by the way, that's a tape that St. Louis is going to see, and I'm going to tell you a little something about what I think of St. Louis after I tell you that they are 28th in offense overall and tied for 23rd in defense, and obviously those numbers are not good. But you know what I saw in St. Louis yesterday was I saw a team that kept laying it on the ground down on the goal line. I saw a team that looked like they could play with Minnesota. I saw a team that made me go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And they played earlier. They played that in that 1 o'clock slot. So we're watching them from the press box as we wait for our game to start. And I'm watching them, and I'm thinking to myself, this is not a team that you're just going to throw your hat out on the field and call it a win. And then the other game I was watching was that Kansas City-Dallas game. And clearly now, Kansas City is in ascent. They are, yes, they are in rebuilding, but now they are in that wonderful stage of rebuilding where they know they really are rebuilding. They really are going upward. So, you know, we had these games set aside, and we knew they were traps. Seattle, 1-3, 41-0. And St. Louis, which is an ofer. And figure, well, you got an ofer at home. Yeah, we'll roll over them. No. I saw a team yesterday that can, just has to figure out that you don't lay the ball on the ground. We saw Kansas City and figured, well, you know, there's another one. Put that one in the bank. That's it at home. They almost beat and should have beaten Dallas. And then, of course, the other one is Tennessee. We know all about them. They're really in bad, bad shape. But they're going to remember now. They're going to be coming off a bye week when the Jaguars go down there. So there's nothing easy about this stretch of schedule for a team that is coming off a 41-0 loss. When you have lost 41-0, nothing can be considered easy for you. That's a break time.
It is break time.
We'll get back to the calls as soon as we come out of this break.
You got it, Victor. Jaguars fans enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner will be chosen from each home game, and you and a guest could win tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Just log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for the details. Safa, Lucas, you guys are on hold. If you want to join Victor, you can be there too. 355-NFL1, 355-6351, or 1-800-355-NFL1. Jaguars Monday continues right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Fans, the Jaguars Rewards Program is your ticket to discounts and savings from a whole bunch of merchants in the greater Jacksonville area. Save on things like Jags gear and money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants and a whole lot more. Just visit jaguars.com/rewards for more information. Victor Call spanning the globe are up next.
Let's make the most of our time tonight. You deserve to be heard. You deserve to get some answers, and I'll try to give them to you. So let's go to Safa in Ponte Vedra Beach. Good evening, Safa.
Off of Connie from Ponte Vedra. As a fan, I like to say that you're my coach. You have taught me, you know, what my expectations should be and so on.
Okay.
And as I've read your column over the years and listened to your shows, I've come to a realization for this season not to have any expectations of this team.
I would think I think that's smart. I think that's smart. I really do. Go ahead.
And a hallmark of a young team with very little depth is inconsistency. You cannot lose a Justin Durant and Ingram in a game and expect to replace them with equivalent type of players.
Now, you're right on the button. Now, you are right on the button. Yesterday, the Jaguars were playing with Daryl Smith, Brian Iwu, and Russell Allen at linebackers. Brian Iwu and Russell Allen are undrafted guys, Russell Allen being an undrafted rookie. Now, this team cannot absorb that kind of loss at linebacker that they had to absorb in not having Justin Durant, and of course Clint Ingram hurt his ankle last week. Not much was made out of that, and for the obvious reason, coaches are not forthcoming with that information. I saw him. I saw Clint with the boot on. I had a pretty good idea he'd be Gonski for the game, but you know. Let me tell you something. Reporters are in a tough spot on this stuff. If you go off the injury report, you will earn the coach's wrath. It's really not fair to them to be a snoop, to break information. But I had a pretty good medical information. I had a pretty good idea that Ingram wasn't going to be able to play for them much, and it left him with these two backup guys, one of whom is a rookie, and that's not a formula for success, especially when you are struggling at the safety positions. You can't sack anybody. You know, the Jaguars' defense was kind of easy fodder for the Seahawks yesterday, even for a quarterback with coming off, you know, broken ribs, even for a Seahawks team that was 1-3. That was kind of easy pickings for Jim Moore.
Well, it was tough for me as a fan because I have cousins in Seattle and Vancouver. I got emails and calls all day long yesterday. Mm-hmm. But, again, I had no expectations. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you. Let's talk to Lucas in Orange Park. Good evening, Lucas.
How are we doing?
Okay. How are you?
I don't know. I feel kind of bad after what happened yesterday. But I'm a season ticket holder. I have been for a while now. You know, I like supporting this team. I like this team in this city. But, like, watching the game yesterday and watching Jack Del Rio's reactions, he kind of looked numb to the whole process to me.
What?
Like, he didn't seem mad enough, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't seem mad enough that we lost. And even watching the post-game interview, he didn't seem mad enough.
I covered a Hall of Fame coach. Still to this day the only coach who has won 4 Super Bowls. Chuck Knoll, and you never saw emotion. You never saw joy. You seldom saw anything other than a man who was stoic, who was in complete control of his emotions. We are in a period of time of great emotional display, especially the younger fans. They want to see it on the shirt sleeve. They want guys to wear it on the shirt sleeve. And you better wear the right emotion. Yesterday, after the fourth and one play failed. And they put the camera on David Garrard on the sideline, and David has a habit. It is his personality that he kind of smiles through clenched teeth, if you know what I mean. It's kind of his personality to overcome his disappointment by just kind of wearing a kind of fake smile on his face, which I call smiling through clenched teeth. Oh, people hate that. Oh, I got the emails today. He's laughing on the side. He's not laughing. He's not laughing. That's just his face. But we now are in an age that the camera is on the face all the time. And we are scrutinizing coaches and players according to their expressions. Not me. I'm not going to do that. What do you want from Jack Del Rio? I want him to coach. I want him to coach a team that doesn't lose 41-0. As far as what he does when it loses 41-0, I don't care. If he's going to run up and down the sideline and yell at people, I don't see where that does any good. Hey, let's look at Mike Singletary. He runs up and down and yells. They lost 45-10. You know what his biggest problem is now? He's run out of people to yell at. What do you do when you've run out of people to yell at? What happens when you're yelling and they've tuned you out? Oh, that's just what he does. He yells and yells and yells. I don't listen to him anymore. What good did it do Mike Singletary? Mike Singletary, it's all over his shirt sleeve. I mean, he wears his emotions for everyone to see. What good did it do? He lost 45-10 at home. The Falcons traveled across the country and kicked him in the teeth. You know, see what I'm saying? I mean, what good is this display of emotion? I know you want it because somehow it validates the angst that you're feeling. But what good does it produce? Can you tell me?
I mean, it's a motivational factor.
Who's it motivating? You?
Okay, let me think about this. If you're first round draft pick Derek Harvey, who honestly, from my perception as a fan, has been pretty terrible. You know what? Those are the kind of guys you got to get mad at. You got to light the flame underneath them. Yeah.
You know what, Lucas? Let me tell you something. It's got to come from within, Lucas. It's got to come from within. You can get in a guy's face and you can motivate him. And you know how long it'll last? Until the first time he gets knocked on his wallet. And then it's gone. It's gone. If it doesn't come from within, get him out. He's not the guy you want. Okay, Lucas? Okay, thanks, buddy. Let's talk to Jason on the north side. Good evening, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Doing all right?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm in my Jaguar bathroom talking to you.
I'm doing the show in the nude tonight, Jason.
All right, cool.
Easy, big fella.
All right.
I got that going for me, which is nice.
Yeah. Why didn't we come out throwing the ball on short, you know, instead of running Drew up the middle all the time like we used to do with Fred in the I formation?
Okay, let's go to the play-by-play and see if, in fact, that's what they did, because I have a feeling you are incorrect. All right. Jaguars first possession of the game. First play, Garrard, short pass over the middle, Torrey Holt, gain of 13. Next play, Jones-Drew off right tackle. Third play, Jones-Drew up the middle. Fourth play, Garrard incomplete. Fifth play, punt. Next series, Jones-Drew up the middle, Garrard pass middle to Holt. Third play, Garrard pass incomplete. Fourth play, Jones-Drew right tackle. Fifth play, Garrard pass short, middle to Torrey Holt. Next play, Jones-Drew right guard. Next play, David Garrard, incomplete, short, middle. Next play, third nine, Garrard, short pass to the right to Jones-Drew. And here it is, fourth and one at the Seattle two-yard line. Of course, you know what happened. David Garrard threw it out of the back of the end zone. That's the end of the game, by the way. Right there. That's the ball game. That play was, for all intents and purposes, the Jaguars' last shot, only shot, at making a game of this. It was certainly the turning point of the game. So, okay, we have two possessions. Let's go through it. There were one, two, three, four, five. I'm sorry, four. Not the punt. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13 plays in those two possessions. And one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight of them were passes. Eight passes, five runs. No good?
Long and good passes, but no, I mean, without protection. I like Garrard. I love the Jaguars. 15-year season ticket holder. But why not, you know, when you
hold on a second. Hold on a second. Final stats. David Garrard, 31 pass attempts. Luke McCown, one pass attempt. Maurice Jones-Drew, 12 rushing attempts. See what's happening here, Jason? You're off. I mean, they threw the ball almost three times more often than they ran it. Okay? I got to go to the bottom of the hour break. Thanks for calling.
All right, Victor, Jaguars fans, you can vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. That's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for the details. Victor will be back right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Fans, here's your chance to get free Jaguars merchandise. Just make JaguarsSearch.com your new online search engine. Every search is a chance to win digital dollars that can be redeemed for great prizes. It's just that easy. JaguarsSearch.com. Also easy to get hold of Vic Ketchman, 355-NFL1. 355-6351. If you're calling from out of town, 1-800-355-NFL1. Victor, a full boat of calls.
How's this for out of town? Craig in Sydney, Australia. Who's paying for this call? Craig, are you there?
Hi, Vic. How are you going?
Who's paying for this call?
Me.
Wow, that's why I got to get you up here before you have to go rob a bank.
No, that's fine. And listen, I just want to say a big thanks to you and all the guys at WOKV there for keeping us right up to date with everything that's happening with the Jags, because we follow it pretty hard down here, and we're just a little bit too far away to see a lot of the games and obviously go to the games. But yeah, just a big thanks to you and everyone there for keeping us up to speed. And I just found out. Passionate about wearing the Jaguars jersey everywhere down here, even though not a lot of people know who they are, but I'm trying the education process to see how that goes. But just gutted yesterday really about the loss. I was so excited about the game yesterday, but unfortunately, like you said earlier, those games happen and we just have to move on.
Yeah, they're going to happen. I can tell you that I got plenty of these in my past. I've covered lots of these. They especially happen to teams that are trying to turn a corner or are trying to recover from having fallen flat. And this team fell flat last year. They lost 8 of their last 10 games. They were 3-3 and then went right down on their keister. Haven't gotten back up yet. 2-2 was nice, but it was a little bit of a snowman. It melted on us. And I'm expecting them to get to 3-3, and that'll feel nice in the bye week. But we know what we have here. What we have is a team that has a depleted roster. This team is not going to be able to match up with other teams in the league. This is going to be a keep your fingers crossed on a weekly basis, and get this season over with, and then get into the real season. You know, the player acquisition season, because that's what this team needs. This team needs more players.
Well, I'll tell you what, I look forward to every Sunday and listen and do what I can to keep up with everything that's going on over there. And hopefully I might end up in the Municipal Stadium over there one day to actually watch a game. So.
No, you're certainly welcome, Craig.
All right, thanks for your time, Vic.
Thank you. And let's talk to Lee in San Marco, who wants to talk about new talent. Hi, Lee.
Hey, Vic. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So after sneaking by the Texans and drubbing the Titans, everyone was figuring out scenarios and getting their reservations for Miami.
Yeah.
So, of course, at the proverbial water cooler today, everyone was bemoaning Jack Del Rio and motivation and the play calling.
It's called manufactured drama.
Well,
you see, if you overreact to one end intentionally, it will allow you to overreact the other way, in the extreme other way, intentionally. So what you do is you create this excitement in your life when, in fact, you know that both are an exaggeration. Each is an exaggeration.
Really realize, and you've been beating the drum about this, how long a road to hoe this team has after the poor drafting over the last 6 years. And so what I tell people, you know, if you look at the elite teams, you know, the Patriots, the Colts, the Giants, the Jets, teams like that, and excluding this year's draft class, who on our team right now, outside of maybe Maurice Jones-Drew or possibly Rasheen Mathis, would garner significant playing time on these contending teams? And, I mean, most of them would just be roster depth and, you know, might get a little playing time. But, you know, our roster, as you said, is incredibly depleted. And if you go position by position and look at our starters and say which of these guys would start for New England or the Colts or the Jets or some of the Giants.
Well, let's go about. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it quickly. Do the Jaguars have any receivers that would start for the Steelers?
No.
Do the Jaguars have any offensive linemen that would start for the Patriots?
Maybe Manawai. They're a little thin at guard, but that's a maybe.
With where Vince is in his rehab from ACL, probably not. I can't see him pushing out Logan Mankins.
Not Mankins. Maybe Neal. Neal's okay. Been hurt, but so has Manawai.
Let's look at the defensive line. Is there anybody on the defensive line who would play for? Let's throw a team out there. The Eagles. Well, with that, you know, Trent Cole and Patterson and the people they have.
They take Knighton based on his upside.
Yep.
But he wouldn't get a lot of playing time.
But he wouldn't
Henderson
get, that's right.
Might get some time in the rotation a little bit.
Rasheen Mathis, as much as this town is sour on one of their own, he's a native son, and this town is really down on him, and that's kind of understandable the day after yesterday, which was probably the worst game of his career. But
he'd start.
Rasheen Mathis would start on any of those premium teams. He'd be the Steelers' best corner. He would be he would start for the Patriots. He would start for the Colts. He would start for the Eagles. So the next time you want to dump on him, remember that. But you're right in everything you say. There are maybe two guys:
Jones-Drew and Rasheen.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. You're right.
Thanks, Vic.
Thank you. This is what I call responsible commentary. This is what I call an intelligent caller. The guy comes in here and he gives us something we can think about that is going to allow us to measure this team against others with the idea of knowing where it stands. Thank you very much. I forget his name. What was his name, Joe? Lee from San Marco. Yeah, good job, Lee. Let's go to Gary in Mandarin. Good evening, Gary.
Hey, guys. How are you? I just jumped in here a half-hour point, so if I'm, repeating anything, apologize for that. But
go for it.
You know, Vic, you made a comment earlier about cross your fingers the rest of you. I'm not going to cross my fingers. I'm going to show up like I've been showing up for 15 years. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to challenge everyone else out there in Jacksonville. All the people crying that they're not going to go buy a ticket until they see a good performance, get a seat. Show up. The team needs the support of this city. And when I woke up, actually when I saw it Sunday after the game, front page on the local rag about, the taxpayers are supporting the stadium. And I'm going to tell you what, a bad day at a Jaguar game is better than any day in any city without an NFL team.
The town has to decide, and it's going to have to decide soon, within the next few years, if it really wants this team, because 46,000 isn't going to get it done. The town has to decide. It's venting right now. It's got its chest stuck out and it's thumping its chest and it's letting the team know that it's not happy. You know, the team's no good and the tickets are too expensive and all that. No, we've been through that. We're not going to turn this show into that. But we've been through this over and over and over. The tickets aren't too expensive. Losing is cyclical. Winning is cyclical. Nobody stays up forever. Nobody stays down forever, with the exception of a couple teams. Hey, the Cardinals were down forever. Now they're up. So you have to be patient. I can't lie to you. What's going on here for 6 years in personnel has been a disaster, and the Jaguars are paying a heavy, heavy price. And with that, I'll go into the break.
Good stuff, Victor.
Thanks, Joe.
Fans, nobody helped. I know you need that from me. I'm here to support you, Vic.
Just don't look at me, Joe, because I'm in the nude, you know.
I
thought we needed something to pick up the show.
You know, we need snacks, food, drinks, and a whole bunch more. So we should stop by Gate, because nobody helps you get ready for game day or Jaguars Monday better than Gate. You want to talk to Vic? Still got a little bit of time to do it. 355-NFL1. 1-800-355-NFL1. Jaguars Monday continues right here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday right here on News Talk Radio WOKV, your flagship station for the Jacksonville Jaguars. This portion of Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center, Victor.
We're going to interview Jack Del Rio at 7 o'clock, meaning when this show ends, I'm going to run out of here and get down to do Coach Del Rio's press conference. Everything got pushed back today because of the late night flight, etc. While I have been on the show with you, talking to you, the locker room has been open. The Jaguars players have submitted themselves to media interviews. And I have just been told that Mike Sims-Walker and Quentin Groves have issued very sincere apologies to their teammates and to everyone for their transgressions of this past weekend. And in Quentin Groves' case, I was told it was tearful. Quentin Groves, he panicked at crunch time. I don't know the specifics that go with the auto accident and all that. All I know is that he knew that the plane was going to leave without him, and he did the wrong thing. In my opinion, he should have just stayed there. The team certainly would not have fined him for having done the right thing. But these guys, you know, they know that there is a high expectation for them of commitment to the team. Anyhow, let's go to Leopold at the beach because he wants to talk about Mike Sims-Walker, and that's fine with me because I would like to share some I would like to share my thoughts on Mike. Hi, Leopold.
Hey, how you doing, Vic?
Good.
I think it was a mistake that Del Rio and that of Mike Sims-Walker, and I think that was a mistake for three reasons. I'm going to try to go through it as quick as I can. Not three reasons, but it affected three people. First person that affected was Maurice Jones-Drew for the simple fact that now Mike Sims-Walker not in the game. Now he feel like he got to do everything. Now he's seeing nine people in the box. And I don't care how great of a person he is, and Maurice Jones-Drew is a great player. It wears on you over a course of the game when you feel like you got to beat the offense. Second person it affected David Garrard. And the reason why I say that, I'm going to give you a quick cliche. Mike Sims-Walker and David Garrard connection is like a married man who has a wife and a mistress on the side. Wife leaves, married man goes to mistress. Month later, married man don't like mistress. All of a sudden, he missed what he had with his wife. That's the second person affected.
That's pretty abstract. Go to your third reason.
And third person affected was Dirk Cutter. And I feel like it affected Dirk Cutter because when Mike Sims-Walker in the game, if you notice, the corners like to back off 8-9 yards because his great route running ability and his ability to get open and his him being physical, he could beat a jam and everything else. And when Mike Sims-Walker is in the game, you could game plan him by either having
okay,
Mike Thomas.
That's enough, because this is all rationalization. I got one question for you. Let's get. I don't want to hear any more of this hooey-fooey. I got one question for you. Last December, when I walked in this studio and on this air, I talked about the press conference that afternoon when Jack Del Rio said there's going to be a new commitment. There's going to be a new way. There's going to be new demands and new expectations of the players. What did you think of that? Did you like it?
Yeah, I like it.
Well, did you like it or not? Don't give me, yeah, I like it. Did you like it or not? Were you all for it?
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay,
sir.
So you were all for it. You were all for it when he said there's going to be a new commitment. But now when it comes time to toe the line of that new commitment, you want to compromise. No, I'm not buying it, Leopold. I'm sorry. You're either in or you're not in. And it sounds to me like you're not in. Who's next? Let's do Eric in Mandarin.
Hey, how you doing, Vic?
Great.
I just want to comment on that last guy. I had something else to say, but I think he's totally off base. You got to have some type of moral.
You got to have rules. You got to have rules, and the rules have to be for everyone. Everyone has to live by them. Whether you're the go-to receiver or you're the 53rd guy on the roster, those rules are for everyone. I've got something in front of me. It's called an itinerary. This is the weekend itinerary from this Seattle game. I'm sorry for taking your time, but I want to use this opportunity. A lot of people don't know what these guys are handed in the way of itinerary. They are handed schedules that account for every hour and every minute of their weekend. They're not just given a hotel room key, and said, see you Sunday morning. Uh-uh. You know, I'm looking at lines for 8 a.m., breakfast, 9 a.m., special teams meeting, 9:30 special teams meeting, field goal protection, 9:45 offense, defense meetings, 11:15 meetings end. It tells you when the meeting ends. 11:30 team bus departs for walkthrough. Noon, walkthrough practice begins, and it tells you what you will wear. When practice ends, when the team bus departs for the team movie. When the movie begins, when team dinner is, when chapel is, when the snack is, when the bed check is. And you know that every one of those lines on this sheet has a time with it. And every one of those times is a deadline. And if you blow it, you're in the coach's doghouse. You know, you're in trouble. And from what I understand, Mike had an itinerary problem this weekend. All right, he blew one or two, I don't know how many, of those deadlines. He wasn't involved in anything that involved the police. That's my understanding. He had an itinerary problem. Coach Del Rio is using this season, especially this season, for the obvious reason, to make sure that everybody's in, all in. I took your time, so go ahead.
Well, I just want to also say that this is just a small bump in the road. We got a long year ahead of us, and I think later we go in this year, the more progress we're going to see, and we just got to still stay in there, and they'll definitely come out in the good.
I totally agree with you. I apologize for taking your time, but I wanted to get that across. I want people to understand that they don't just go into their hotel rooms and then come out the day of the game. And you know, these college programs that we salute, that we applaud, they really don't do, in my opinion, a very good job of preparing these guys for this kind of responsibility. With that, I will say good night.
Thanks, Vic.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Don't forget, tomorrow night, we've got the Jack Del Rio Show right here on WOKV. Then Wednesday, Vic is back for Jaguars This Week. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.